Patrick. Take a break here and sit down for a second. Bernice got me unloading the dishwasher. N0TR.
Tom, how are you and Miss Bernice today?
She is baking for the daughter for her Oktoberfest festival. And got many... Well, the kitchen looks like Hiroshima after the bomb.
Imagine trying to cook that much in a short amount of time.
Well, I can send you a picture of it. And she's just basically started yesterday, but right now she's making apple strudel.
Trouble for sending out a picture of her kitchen looking like that.
I'm proud of her.
Me too, as much as you talk about her cooking.
That picture of this strudel, you wouldn't believe how big they are. Oh, shoot. I'll shoot you a picture of it if you want, Patrick, but I have to have a number.
I'll give you my number. Whenever you're ready. Code 828-606-7730.
828-606-7730.
Roger that.
I'm slow, I'm old, so it'll be a few minutes, but I'll send you a couple of pictures of the starting of this mess. And she does all the desserts that are German. And then Amy does all of the sausages and I don't know what all. It's a buffet down, it's 14 miles south of here.
Just one weekend, or is it just a day, or what is it?
This evening, Patrick. You're welcome to come over if you want to. But I doubt if you know anybody there except me. Everybody seems to be busy this weekend that I knew. There's, I think, 60 people supposed to come. And I'm not wild about being in groups right now, and you know why, with my congestive heart failure, but I've had my third shot now, so I should be getting my immunity built back up. I think they said it went down to 47%, and it's supposed to be back up in the 90s once you get that extra shot, so I'm going to go reluctantly.
Try to keep your distance and wash your hands and don't touch your face.
You're right, exactly. shoot. Well, my neighbor's been hunting deer, and I enjoy watching them getting ready to go out. I think they're hunting with black powder and that. We haven't been doing much because of the rain. We've gotten 9.48 inches this month. And I think we got 3.72 yesterday. And it's just incredible, the amount of rain. Boy, we just aerated and seeded and fertilized the lawn. You wouldn't believe how fast that sucker's growed.
Yeah, I bet it has jumped up. With all the rain we've had, and now the sun's coming out, you better look out.
Yes, sir. I had some fun yesterday. I did work a couple of nice DX stations there, and I was trying to figure out how to send this picture here in a minute. I think I'll enter your name and phone number in there first. Make sure I got this right. KO4HKX, right?
Tom.
Oh, I'm QRZ, but well, you'd have to be. That was a dumb question. Oh, I managed to work. I've worked them years past, but they got a de-expedition over in Swaziland, and they call it the Kingdom of Estuani or something now. But I worked them a couple of times, and I was talking to Bill about it N4IQ. And he said they were on, and I'd been kind of watching for them, and then I worked another Russian de-expedition last night for the commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the Antarctic Peace Treaty. And another station that's on right now. I can't remember what it was. Just for the heck of it. And then best of all, I talked to Chad and Bill last night on HF.
Ask if you had talked to Bill on HF because he was wanting you to be his first contact up on HF. So I was wondering if he was able to get that done.
Yeah, that was quite an honor. When we first tried it, I could barely hear him. And then later on, Chad texted me and said they were up on 80 meters. And 40 meters earlier was, wow, it was crowded. And I just couldn't find anything that I could pick him up good on either of my antennas. I could hear him. And I don't know if he could hear me or not, but when we went back a little later after dark, we were able to talk. It was pretty weak. But you know, HF's funny. I heard another party on here say that one time that he could hear Bob, but he couldn't talk to Bob. Bob was talking all over the world. Well, that's the way HF works. And many times you'll just go right over the top of it. So that's probably what was happening there. Now, if you're real close, you can do ground wave. And like Ariel and I, NY4G and I used to talk almost every night on 17 meters on CW. But CW is a lot better form of communication than sideband, because it's narrow bandwidth, and it's just better, it's stronger. But the boys don't know that yet, and I don't know if they'll ever get interested in it or not, Patrick.
So it's a lot to take in all at one time, learning how to navigate the repeaters versus I slipped off the PTT. But learning how to do all that at one time, your brain starts to hurt.
But I'll tell you, Patrick, CW is not easy, and you have to have a desire to do it. But I will say this. I said I'd never do it again after I passed the 20-word-a-minute test. In fact, I wasn't going to do any of it. I started out as a technician and went to a technician plus, which was 5 words a minute. And that got me kind of interested. And then I went to general and took the written. Then I studied for a while and I got the CW portion, which was 13 words a minute. And I thought, oh my God, I'll never do that. And then I got the advanced license, which was the hardest. And then I studied for the extra, and I thought, oh, I'll never get this 20 words a minute. It really sucked. I spent about 3 months, and I'd practice about a half hour a day of an evening, and you have to do it religiously. And since then, I thought, well, why would I give that up? You know, it's kind of a talent, and it's very rewarding, and there's a lot of times there'll be CW and there won't be any sideband on a certain station. And so I thought, well, I'll piddle with it. And anymore in my old age, that's primarily all I do. And I was pretty lacking in telling them where to go last night on sideband, because they have to watch their bandwidth, see where they're at in band for general. And I haven't had to do that in 26 years. I was about a year from, so I've been a ham, I think 27 years, and 26 years of it, I was an extra, so I could talk on anywhere, so I have to watch that with them guys. I almost sent Bill to the wrong area, but I think he'd have caught it.
You're having to relearn what we're learning now, because you don't use it, so you lose it. I mean, you just forget about it. and it's hard to keep track of all of it.
What I did was, Patrick, this is N0TR, what I did is I programmed my radio for each band, the band limits. So if you take your finger and you put it on the big knob in the center and you're tooling through the VFO, which I didn't have any computers or anything back then, when you get, it'll start out at the bottom of the band, say 7 megacycles, and it'll go up to the top of the band for CW, and then it will just come back around to 7 megacycles, like, and of course that's in the extra class band, but say in the different bands, like sideband, I would start out at like 20 meters for me would be 14,150, and or 14 megacycles for CW, up to 14,150 is CW, and when it get to that, it just reverse and go back around to the bottom. That's a real handy way to keep from going out of band. I think in all those years, I only went out of band once or twice by accident, and I got called down on it back then.
I don't know if the radio that Chad and I are using does that, the FT-991A. I'll have to look into it and see. But if it does, yeah, that will be real handy to keep you from making a mistake and getting your hand slapped.
Lots of band cops out there that... I think they issue them badges, and there's nothing lower than a band cop, in my opinion. Now, there are double O's out there, official observers, and I respect that. But they were nice about it. They weren't nasty or anything, most of them. Some of them are, but the language and things just deteriorated quite a bit over the years. But at any rate, yeah, I'm certain that you would have that in your memories, and it's really handy. I know the Kenwood that I got, it's nothing real fancy. It's a 590SG, and it's a nice radio, and Bill's got a 590, and I never thought about it. I could have, well, he can do that. He's an IT guy. He could program that into that radio real easy. Right now, it's programmed for the extra class band, so he'd probably, because it was my radio, he'd probably get in trouble.
For HKS, I'm sure he's watching that like a hawk right now. Being new at it, he's staying on top of it.
And even last night in 4WHM stroke AG, what you do when you get your general. And, it's disconcerting because you got a lot to learn once you get your license, just like anything else. When I got a HVAC license, that didn't make me a good HVAC person. You was just ready to learn. Any license I ever had, you're just ready to learn. And, that's a good thing. The only thing I find hard to learn anymore is these dad-burned computers, and they make me nervous because if I screw up, I don't know how to get out of it.
Just like anything else, with time and practice and patience, you'll learn it. It, like I said, it's just like anything else.
Computers, most of my working life, Patrick, I worked on CNC machine tools from the smallest to the very largest in the United States. And right down to the changing integrated circuits and transistors and resistors and capacitors and whatever else they put on those boards, EEPROMs, you name it. I've changed them all, the microprocessors. I never did get into the surface mount stuff. That come later on. But I was expected to fix it right down to the circuit board level, and I started out in vacuum tubes and went from there up through all the different kinds of drives and that. But it's not the same as data processing up here in some ways on the computers. And the the dead burn things are just a thing of their own. And you get to a certain age where they make you nervous, and it ain't worth getting nervous over. I got too many good friends out there that can help me out.
That's the good thing about computers, is they can be logged on from far away and help you navigate through those problems. So that is handy there.
Yeah, Bob even said he had a thing where he could just take over my computer and do it for me from up there in Hendersonville. I never thought about that. shoot, I haven't had to do that yet, but I can do a lot of it. But I use it for my ham radio now a lot. And but, you know, for logging and stuff like that. But I also keep a paper log. Well, what are you doing out today?
Sitting in my shack at the house, just studying. I'm trying to get ready to take my general test next weekend, I hope. That way I can get up there on HF with you guys. But I'm working at it.
Hi, Patrick. You get so many other benefits from doing that in ham radio than just ham radio. So you'll learn a lot of things that will be applicable in life as you go. So kudos to you for that. You'll pass it. Bill ain't even worried about it. And you know the kind of work he's done all of his life. You know, I knew he could do it standing on his head. But I ran into that one time when I went over and took the Tech Plus test over at Parsons, Kansas. And they said, well, you need to take the general test. And I said, well, I only got $6 left in my pocket. I think that's what it cost at the time. That's all I had. And old Mort, what's the name of the old-timer over there giving the test? And he ran that 13 words. First he gave me that written test. And that written test, he said, oh, you work in electrical and electronics and machine tools and that. You ought to be able to do it. Well, different world. It's RF. I took the test and I missed it by one. And so I was broke then. But he had me take the CW test after I took the Tech Plus at 5 words a minute. And I told him, I said, I don't have any way of copying 13 words a minute. And I didn't. So I had just bought the general book. I hadn't even read it yet. So I went back and I read the general book, and I went back and took it. And then I went home and I practiced the Morse code, and pretty soon I got that, you know, yada, yada, yada. Ticks time. Took me about a year to go through all of them, but there was a lot more licenses then, too. But it's rewarding, so you'll make it, and you'll enjoy it, and then you're ready to learn.
Getting there. I'm still just going through the book, and then I'll sit down and I'll go through one of the practice tests for a little while, or just making my way through it little by little, and try to be ready by this weekend, I hope. As long as nothing comes up this week out of the ordinary, I should be okay.
Where are you going to take her down? Greenville?
But Bob said if I couldn't make it there, he could help me out with it, too.
Because Gary's excellent on that and has done it for a long time. Well, Patrick, I got to go because Bernice wants me to get over and unload that dishwasher. Get the heck out of her way, I'm sure. Nice talking to you this morning. It's wonderful to see that big red thing up in the sky this morning. I don't recognize it. There we didn't have any rain for 11 days, and I haven't seen the sun in so long. I don't know what it looks like. Take care. KO4HKX0TR. I'm going to shut this off so I don't get in trouble. See you later.
Miss Bernice, have a good day. Y'all stay safe with your adventure this afternoon. And enjoy. Try to relax and enjoy. KO4HKX, and I'm clear. 73.
KN. 94 TFW. On 0TR.
4HKX, KK4 LAZ. Patrick, are you sticking around for a little while or are you about to jump off?
Oh no, I can hang around a little while. Like I said, I'm just sitting in the shack. Simon and Ken, I think I heard you in there.
Almost back to the house.
How doing today?
Well, I am currently on my way to do a delivery. I do some plant deliveries for some friends of mine that own a nursery. That's kind of a side hustle deal, so I got a trailer full of plants behind the Jeep right now. And after that, I'm hoping to find somewhere up in the TR area where I can do a Parks on the Air activation. I just built myself a 12-volt battery box in an ammo can, and so I want to go test it out and see how it does.
Too hard, finding a dry piece of ground might be.
Everything's going to be soggy this time of day, right after all that rain we've had. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't be surprised if everywhere I went was just a swamp.
Surprise me, at least till this afternoon when the sun dries it up a little bit. Ken, what you out running the roads doing?
A lawnmower drive built this morning, and then see if I can't get the push mower to pull itself where I don't have to push so hard on it.
No luck with the head gasket on the riding mower.
Now it looks like it was closed on Saturday.
Put you in contact with a guy over toward Easley that's probably open.
And I want to go today anyway.
Just let me know.
Appreciate it. Maybe up in your neck of the woods tomorrow. Then I'm going to go up I-40 to exit 7, and there's supposed to be some roads that Mama's Jeep probably work on up there, some fire roads and that, and just see if we can't get in high in the elevation and see some leaves that's maybe a little bit further off the beaten path.
You'll be able to up that way. You'll see the yellows and oranges this weekend. The reds and other colors are still coming around.
What did you say you were headed to look for the leaves in the Jeep?
I got on gravelmap.com, and there's some fire tower roads up there off of exit 7, almost into Tennessee.
Talking about, there's a trail that me and some of the guys hit in our Jeeps called Hurricane Creek Road, and it's like the first, you know, half mile to a mile of it is like a gravel road that there's actually cabins, people own cabins off of it, and then once you go further, it's probably like a 4 or 5 mile trail. It gets pretty rough going further into it, but it takes you up to an area up there called Max Patch, which is a really pretty overlook.
.com, you can, you know, touch the, it'll show you where they all are in the whole country, and then it'll tell you a little bit about it. And one of them, the comments was, yeah, I didn't really want to take my Jeep down in. Mama's got a pretty nice Jeep, and it's just stock, so I hate to get it tore up.
This is not one that you'd want to go on if you didn't want to tear something up. I think I've scratched or bumped something every single time I've gone through.
Yeah, on that one. But this other one is supposed to be a little bit better, and it's like, you know, a little fire tower road. I think it's Fire Road 148 or something, then it goes over to 1182, and then we were going to go take it on up north and that, and just looking for the sites, but it looked like most of the elevation, it said it was 1,000 meters, so that's probably about, what, 3,000 feet.
Like it's going to be a beautiful drive. Patrick, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in on everything there. Go ahead.
You were fine. I was just sitting here listening to you two talk.
Curiosity, I know you drive a Matco truck, right? Were you down in Simpsonville a few weeks ago?
It's not me. That would be Tim.
Like my neighbor's house a few weeks ago, and I didn't notice whether there was any antennas on it or not, but I just didn't know if I had just happened to miss you because I was on my way out when I saw it. So, okay, good deal. Yeah, I was just curious if that was you.
So that's Tim's area down there, and I think he lives down that way.
Okay. Did you ever get everything straightened out with getting your new truck?
truck now. It's not a new one, but it's going to have to work for now because you can't get a truck. Tim, the guy you're seeing there, he's had a truck on order for almost a year now, and he just got word yesterday that it will be at least January before the parts come in to finish it up.
I didn't realize that the part shortages had hit the commercial heavy truck market too. I thought it was just little trucks, but I guess it's not really a surprise. They probably use a lot of the same components.
Do your regen systems and the exhaust systems that they use to clean the exhaust up is where they're having a lot of problems. Turbos, turbo actuators, NOx sensors, EGT sensors. And then just the SOC and DOC, they're having all kinds of problems just getting parts, and it's shutting trucks down so much so that the federal government has come out and allowed them to put a bypass in and do away with that stuff until they can get the parts for that truck.
23 guys, I hope you guys have an awesome day, and I'll catch up with you later. KN4 TFW.
Ken, you take care. Good luck on your mower. And if you need help finding parts for that other one, let me know. I can put you in touch with a guy over there that can help you out. And tell Miss Susan we say hello.
That I kind of drove into a hole. But yeah, I hear you, man. There's shortages everywhere. You know, I work in audiovisual, and there's a whole lot of stuff that we can't get right now either. We're just sitting and waiting on stuff that we ordered into last year, and it's still not here. It's crazy.
It's everywhere. Tools are on back order, parts to do repairs on tools. I mean, it's industry-wide, nationwide. Everything you touch is having supply problems.
That surprised me. I went into the couple different parts stores down there in Simpsonville last weekend looking for some mass airflow sensor cleaner because I needed to clean the MAF on a car that I picked up I've been working on. And nobody has mass airflow sensor cleaner, and they can't get it, and they've been trying to get it for the last, 8 to 10 months, and they can't get it, and it's just absolutely crazy. You know, it's one of those things you're like, what the heck? One of the most random things in the world. You know, the guy at the store was like, yeah, man, we can't sell this stuff normally, and here we are. We can't get it at all. People keep coming looking for it and can't find it. Hey, I'm about to pull in here for my first delivery, but I'll jump back on whenever I get back in the Jeep here. So you guys carry on, and I'll talk to you later. KK4LAZ, and I will be clear for now.
Take care, KK4LAZ. I'll be around for a while. I'll be sitting in here in the shack for a little while. KO4HKX, and I'm on the side monitoring.
KX, I'm still busy here, Patrick, but I just wondered if you got them pictures. Send their OTR.
Yes, sir, I got them. I'm checking them out now.
She's got stuff in the oven, too. Not just what you see there on the table.
Big old streusel.
Yes, it is, and there's two pizzas over here that are about 2 foot long each. Oh, my. One of them's ours, and I had some for breakfast with a cup of coffee. It's kind of a nut roll, you know, only it's like a big long loaf of bread, and inside it's all spiral and full of pecans and stuff like that.
That sounds good, especially warm.
It certainly is. Either way. All right, Patrick, I'll let you go. I got to get back to work here. She's going to slap me around a little bit. You know how violent she is. Not. KO4HKX and 0GR73.
73, Tom, you and Miss Bernice have a good one. And again, y'all stay safe. KO4HKX.
4LAZ, back monitoring.
KO4HKX.
All right. Sorry about that. I had to jump out there and do that delivery. some folks opening a new deli down here near Haywood Mall in Greenville. So they were getting some plants to beautify the front of the place there. So got to take those over there, unload for them, so pretty quick. Now I'm headed to TR to do my second one. So it's going north. And that's after that, I'm going to try to find somewhere to do that POTA activation like I was telling you about.
Set your box up.
A 16 amp hour lithium ion phosphate, LIFEPO battery. And it's got a panel on the side of it that gives me a voltmeter, a couple of USB charge points, and a switch to control all that, turn all that on and off. And it's got like a cigarette lighter outlet on that part too. And then I put basically just like terminal block, or not terminal block, but just like they're like for banana plugs. So it's got a connector on the other side of the box for banana plugs, and that's what I run my radio into, and then I've got a switch to turn that on as well. So, yeah, nothing, I mean, it's just something simple right now. You know, I've never done one before, and, you know, I've always run off of AC power doing everything HF, and except for when I've had stuff in the car itself. And so I just wanted to build myself a little box so that I could get out and do stuff actually portable and not be tied to a wire anywhere.
I've been kind of looking at here. That's what I'm watching a video on right now, actually.
Yeah, they're, I mean, from everything I've heard, the lithium ion phosphate, or lithium iron phosphate, whatever, they're really good for doing ham radio stuff, and they're a lot lighter weight. This is a 16 amp hour battery, which is pretty hefty, you know, as far as capacity, and it only weighs like 6 pounds, I think. So, I mean, the whole box is really light. I mean, the box, you know, the battery box itself weighs less than the small Pelican that I keep my radio in.
Did you get it on Amazon?
On Amazon, and I bought the all the stuff to wire it up on Amazon. I got the ammo can from Harbor Freight. It's just one of the little $10, I guess, plastic, you know, whatever they're made of, like 50 cal sized ammo cans.
That's kind of what I was looking at doing. I don't know if I'm going to do it in one of those boxes, or I actually have some of the metal ones left that I'm not using.
Seen guys do them in those too. I mean, I just went with the plastic because, you know, I had stuff to make holes and cut the plastic easier than you know, trying to make holes and drill through metal. But I mean it works either way. And the nice part about the battery that I got is that it's small enough that I can actually, I think I'll be able to fit a second one of the same size into the can, so I can double my amp hour capacity to 32.
Give you a little longer out there if you got into where you were wanting to do something or made a good contact or two.
My radio will, it draws about 1 amp on just receive. So I should be able to run it on receive for a good amount of time. And then, you know, wide open on full power output, it's like 22 amps. So, I mean, I figured that I could get a good, you know, running that half power or, you know, 20 watts or something, I could probably get a good couple hours out of it at least. And I was thinking about also getting a small, like 100 watt solar panel to just kind of boost the whole thing and keep it charged if I ever decide I just want to sit all day and do stuff. Because, I mean, from everything I've seen and heard, and I'm by no means an expert on any of this stuff, but from everything I've seen and heard, if you get yourself a good solar panel and you have a good place to set up, you can pretty much run all day or indefinitely if you've got the right setup.
What I'm finding out, like I said, just trying to get some more knowledge around it, taking a minute from studying on my, trying to get my general. I'm hoping to go take it next Saturday if I feel confident in it.
Well, yeah, that's a big step. I waited, I think, 5 or 6 years after I got my technician to finally upgrade to general. And I'm really glad that I did, because, I mean, I do more with, you know, HF and playing around with that kind of stuff now than I do on VHF, UHF. I like going camping and taking my gear and setting up and doing it from the camper. I've got a camper that I take, and I have a lot of fun doing that. I did winter field day. I did field day. No, I didn't do field day out at camping. I did field day at home. But I did winter field day last year. I've done a couple POTA activations remote from, you know, various campgrounds and things like that. So it's always been a lot of fun, but it's always been, you know, inside the trailer plugged into a power supply. It's never been like actually portable where, you know, I actually go out, set up my picnic table and, you know, run that way. That's why I built this battery box, because that's my goal, is to be able to, you know, set up on a picnic table and activate.
And Gerald TR.
You ain't gonna get in trouble for being on here, are you?
Nope, I just finished unloading the dishwasher, getting ready to head out to the chickens. And you guys might know this, but I'm gonna throw it out there anyways. One of my good friends, NY4G Ariel Jacala, is extremely knowledgeable on this and has wrote books on that and has a deluxe website. Just look up NY4G and I think it'll lead you there. He gives presentations all over the place and is, oh wow, one of the smartest people on the radio when it comes to antennas. I mean, he can design them and everything else. And he even sells one of his own for someone's on the air and things like that. And he's activated over 100 summits. So I think it was K4LAZ, something like that. Go ahead and take it.
Met Ariel before. He was doing Aries with us for a while there. Really good guy. Really, like you said, really smart. A lot of knowledge. And it's good to know those kind of guys and kind of be able to, you know, learn as much as you can from them. And I'll have to look up his website. I actually didn't realize he had that. That's actually really cool. I've actually never done one of the summits on the air before, just because I'm not really set up to do, you know, portable QRP stuff at this point. But I definitely want to get there. You know, I've been thinking about trying to pick up a little QRP transmitter, transceiver, and you know, a really portable, like maybe an infit half wave, to do that kind of stuff. Because right now I'm limited to where I can take my, you know, Pelican, you know, medium-sized Pelican case with my FT450 and my Wolf River coil, which is very portable, but it's not like a throw it on your back and go hiking portable.
Well, I'm looking at doing the more portable, is what I was looking at. And Tom, did I get his call right, NY4G?
That's correct. NY4G, November Yankee 4 Golf is the way he calls it. Just a brilliant person is all I can say about Ariel, and kind, and has a wonderful wife. He's extremely talented woodworker beyond your wildest dreams. He used to be in the hot section down where my daughter works at the turbines down there at General Electric. Amy, that's where the Oktoberfest is tonight, and she's an engineer for General Electric. But oh, she just juggles money now. She's out of the engineering part of it. I don't know. I look at those charts she does every day. I can't. It's all Greek to me. Excel charts all day long. But I'll just peek in there once in a while and see all this clutter on the computer screens. Yes, he weighs his stuff down to the gram. And it's the same way with antennas and that. Sometimes it's more than I can absorb, but you can glean out of it a lot of whatever you really need. You know, he's the Einstein when it comes to antennas, and we've got several on here that are that way, that have been at it for many years. But since he's retired, he's had more time. He's even written a book. But I didn't catch your name with the call, KO4LAC, this is N0TR, my name's Tom, and I'm going to go, guys. I'll go one more round. I got to go out and take care of the girls here.
I don't know if you guys can still hear me or not. I'm kind of in a hole. I don't know whether I've got some issues with my antenna set up right now or what, but I seem to, oh, Lord, that's a bump. I seem to be having some really bad problems with breaking up. But anyway, Tom, it's good hearing from you. Yeah, I was saying in my last transmission, I have met Ariel, and he's a really smart guy. So I definitely need to look at his website, because I didn't know he had that. KK4LAZ.
You be careful out there, and I'll talk to you later. 73KO4HKX.
Roger, K-O4L. I think it was. Bernice is making noise over here. I missed a little of that, but your transmission was perfect. No problem. Very nice to meet you this morning. Have a wonderful sunshiny day out there. And be careful. It's Zenzero TR clear.
Got any plans on what HF rig you want to try to pick up once you've got your general, KK4LAZ?
I have a 991A and I have a IC-706 Mark IIG.
You said you had or were getting a 991A, is that correct?
I have one.
Radio really hard because I've been wanting to get something that's a little bit more modern and has some more of the DSP and, you know, just SDR features on it. I've been looking at that one and then the 7300, which I think are really kind of the two biggest competitors in that area. What made you kind of go with the 991?
Honestly, it was availability between the two, just like you were talking. But just so you know, if you talk to Gary, KO4DIS, I believe it is, DOS, Donkey on Skates, DOS. He's selling or helping sell AK stuff. They have a 7300 that they're selling if you're interested.
Come up. Are you talking about, sorry, like I said, man, I'm having a hard time hearing anything. Are they talking about on the swap net on Wednesday night?
He has it listed there, and he also has it other places. He's thinking about taking it to the flea market and some other areas, and the couple of the ham fest coming up.
Yeah, I'll have to look him up. I haven't figured out exactly what direction I want to go yet, but I mean, I've had ICOM, I've had Kenwood, and I've had Yaesu, and I've had good luck with all three, and I tend to be a Yaesu guy, but it seems like the 7300 is I don't want to say the clear winner, but, you know, it's the more common radio, although I definitely like the idea of being able to do Fusion and VHF, UHF with the 991. That's really appealing to me, and like I said, I've always kind of had a Yaesu affinity.
Another thing that got my attention was the fact that I could do 2 meter and 440 with it also.
Would you like Gary's number? Okay, what's the other gentleman's name, Patrick? I missed it.
Juliet, India, Mike, Jim, and yeah, I'll take his number if you've got it.
Yes, and he's given it out over the air before, otherwise I wouldn't. Are you ready to copy?
Whenever you're ready.
It's 864-567-1101, QSL.
864-567-1101. I can't believe I actually was able to hear that whole thing.
567-1101. And by the way, if you get encouraged to do CW, I work QRP. I hear them almost every night in the upper edge of the CW bands. In other words, 7025 on up to 7040 or 14025 up to 30. There'll always be QRP stuff in CW up there. I didn't realize it. He was wanting to work. He gave his call sign and he said, ended it with QRP. Well, he was looking for QRPs. I thought he was looking for anybody. And he was courteous and replied, but he asked the wattage, and I was kind of ashamed. I told him I was at 100 watts, and he was 5 watts. But boy, on CW, you can do miracles with that. Anyways, Jim, nice to meet you, and I hope that helps you out. And tell Gary I'm the one that gave it to you, and he's a great guy. I'll see you guys later. N0TR, I'm headed outside.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, I've never really done a whole lot of QRP stuff myself. I mean, I've played around turning the power down on my radio, but, you know, never, you know, like I was saying, hike out, backpack, set up a portable NFET half wave or something and go to town. So it's definitely something I'm excited to try out. Anyway, 7-3s, you have a good day. KK4LAZ to N0TR.
And Tom.
I can hear people again now. It's crazy. Although I'm probably about to drive around the back of Paris Mountain and not be able to hear anyone. I need to really look at this antenna setup because I used to not have problems, but now for some reason it just seems like I'm breaking up like crazy. You know, driving anywhere downhill, which is kind of abnormal for the antenna I'm running.
I doubled with you when you started there. Tim, I doubled with you on your last transmission.
You hear me now, Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I'm having antenna issues. I think I need to probably try to move it to a different location. I've just got it on a lip mount on my hood right now, which I imagine isn't giving it enough of a ground plane to be effective. But I don't know. I can't say that I'm the expert on antennas anyway.
Transmissions are perfectly clear, so they're not, you're not dropping in and out or anything like that.
I guess I can get out, but I can't hear anything. I don't know why. Maybe the repeater is, I don't know, pulling the antenna. I know that there was at one point where the antenna kind of got tilted over, and it was basically shooting over the northern part of Greenville County, or, you know, I say northern, central, northern, whatever part of Greenville County. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't get on the repeater too much anymore, so I haven't heard whether or not there's anything going on with that or not.
Aware of, and yeah, I hadn't heard you on here in a while, so I kind of surprised. It took me a minute to remember who your call sign was.
The problem is I've got the radio in my Jeep, but I don't drive my Jeep all that often. It's mainly just the fun / let's do some work pulling the little trailer car. I mainly drive either my truck or my Crown Vic to work, so I don't often drive a car with a radio in it. But I'll definitely plan on trying to get a radio hooked up in both of those vehicles here going soon. I've got radios to hook up. I just need to buy some wire and some antenna mounts to put in there so that I can actually mount the radios up and use them.
I keep one in most of my vehicles that I'm driving on a regular basis, and it does change the fact of which one I want to drive.
So if I'm in a VHF UHF mode, I always drive this because this is where I've got my FTM 400. But I've got a Kenwood D710 that I'm going to put in one of the vehicles, and I've got an ICOM 808, ICOM something. It's a little baby one that's got a detachable faceplate that I'm going to put in the other vehicle. So I haven't gotten all that sorted out yet. It's one of those things like, during the summer, you know, when it's hot, you don't want to get out there and do it because you're just going to start sweating as soon as you pop the trunk to mount the radio body. But, you know, now that it's cooling off, I actually don't really have an excuse to not get stuff wired up.
I'm using a Kenwood 710 G in my tool truck. That's what I have mounted in it.
Version. It doesn't have the built-in GPS, unfortunately. And back when I was running that as my main rig before I got the FTM 400, I had a little Garmin GPS that would output serial GPS data that I'd just plug into the head, and that's how I ran APRS with it. But I've actually seen some guys online who bought one of the little cheap, like $30 serial GPS dongles, you know, made for like a PC or something, and they actually modified it to run, you know, basically they just popped the head of the radio apart and soldered it to like three pins. There's like three pins inside the head that you have to solder connections to, and then you can actually get GPS data. It's just a little tiny puck that you can, you know, double-sided tape or Velcro to the back of the head, which basically makes it function the same way.
KO4 HKX. Yeah, so far I'm loving the little radio, and I've got it running APRS, and I'm trying to get it hooked up to the Garmin Nuvi 350 where it will tell me if there's anybody else running APRS right around me.
What I was doing when I had mine set up is I had the Nuvi, and it would just dump all the waypoints for people's locations onto the Nuvi so I could see them. And the one thing I never figured out, and I don't know if it's possible, is if you can make it delete an old waypoint when it hits a new one. So, like, if someone's moving and they, you know, jump locations, it would just create a whole new, like, you know, track point for their new next location. So what ended up happening with me is I just had, you know, thousands of waypoints in my GPS to the point where, like, the memory got full, because anytime someone pinged, you know, beaconed again, it would create a new point for them on the map. But that's probably a me thing. I probably just never figured out exactly how to set it up properly.
That's what I'm working on. Mine right now, I can't even get it to bring up the call sign or anything on the screen. So it's just settings in there that you're playing with, trying to find out what works.
Exactly. A little bit of just always a bit of trial and error until you get it right. Patrick, I'm about to jump out and do this second delivery real quick, but I'll get back on here after a while, and if you're still around, we can chat some more. But good luck with your study, and I'll talk to you in a bit. KK4LAZ to K04HKX. I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
Jim, take care. I'm going to have to hop off for a little bit. I've got to run up to my stepdad's and help him for a little while, but I'll have the radio when I get into mobile. So just give me a shout. KO4HKX 73. I'm clear.